So for those who haven't come across the story, can you tell us a little bit about what the film is?
The film is inspired by a real event where Bernie Jordan, leading seaman from the Second World War, he snuck out of his care home in 2014 to attend what would have been the 70th anniversary of the D-Day landings. And he became something of a celebrity when it was discovered, because he'd gone missing, and where's he gone? No one knew. And they tracked him down. And I think it was, well, it's shown in the film, one of the policemen who discovered his whereabouts put a hashtag of great escaper when he discovered what Bernie got up to. So it's about him going back to Normandy, but the story as we tell it, which was developed, I think, masterfully by Billy Ivory, the writer, is really about a man who decides he has to address some of the demons of his past. There are things that he hasn't confronted, and this might be his last chance. And on the other side of that story is his wife, Renee, who has her own memories of the war. And she it is, in fact, who encourages him to take the journey, because he missed the opportunity to go with a group, and she tells him to go anyway. And meanwhile, she has her own secret story, which she will attend to. And essentially, it's a love story.
It really does tackle some difficult subjects, because you look at not only loss, but guilt and PTSD and camaraderie. So what are you hoping audiences are going to take away from the film?
I could reduce it to what Michael Caine said to me when we met. He said, I want to make them laugh and I want to make them cry. He said, right. And we said, well, we'll do our best. I mean, essentially, as I say, the power behind the story is really the love between this couple that can address these powerful obstacles. And they are to do with, the PTSD that they've both been through. You know, war doesn't just affect those in the middle of the battlefield. She who let him go to war and almost has never forgiven herself for that, deals with her own sense of guilt. Everybody is carrying guilt for various reasons, and that's why, in a way, war is often such a powerful storytelling element, because we all have our own battles to fight. And in this case, here are individuals who really, if you like, are being brave enough to confront those things. And so what I really wanted to do, and it's epitomized by, for example, the scene where Bernie meets a bunch of Germans in a bar, and turns out they were both on the same strip of beach for the landings, and the kind of sense of horror initially, fear, and then empathy. And it's done without barely a word, in fact.
What made you want to tell this? Because it is, as you say, based on a true story.
Well, a few things, actually. One particular one was that my father was a soldier. He was 18 when he was sent out to Burma. And I know he'd seen some pretty terrible things, but never talked about it. And he said this thing to me about, we fought it so you wouldn't have to talk about it. And so I was very interested in opening that up. And it turns out that Billy, too, his father had served in the RAF and had a really horrific time of it. So for me, it was quite a personal thing, a connection to that. And also, I love the combination, which again evidenced in Billy's writing, of wit. And what Billy did, I think, really brought substance and pathos and authenticity to the characters. So that, to me, was very striking. Interestingly, I was doing a conversation earlier with Help for Heroes, and amazing to hear one woman who said, this is my story, because she'd been flying a Chinook and letting soldiers off the ramp. And 30 soldiers go running past her, and this sense of, will you see them again? And so to be anywhere near war, you're connected to his story, and as she is too. So it's a surprisingly kind of broad, one might even say universal story, because we all carry our guilt to various degrees.
I'm sure when a lot of people watch this, they will feel that connection and they will be able to empathise with what the characters have gone through. But I just want to talk a little bit about Sir Michael Caine, because he was a Fusilier, a Royal Fusilier. And how did you manage to get him to join the film? Because he had actually retired from acting a couple of years ago.
I know. Well, I think he couldn't resist it. We nearly made it a couple of years ago, but he had to go and have some operation for his back. And he thought that might have been the end of his career. But actually, it went well. And the script was still in the air. And it's such a wonderful part. And as you say, being a soldier, it suits him so well that we kept in touch. And then there was a moment which was, do we jump? Yes, we do. I mean, you can't really imagine anybody being better casting than Michael Caine for this role. You know, to have that working class ex-soldier with that his sense of mischief and fun, and you know, the so many gorgeous elements that really bring that character to life on screen. It was a privilege and a pleasure.
When you know he was filming with you for it, did you notice that he made any sort of connections with the character? Because he must have gone through some similar things.
He is very, very direct. I was thinking the other day, what is presence in an actor? You know, some actors really have presence. And sometimes it seems as simple as it is being present. It is actually not learning your lines and repeating them. It is camera turns over and you are alive on screen. And you are thinking those thoughts and feeling those feelings in real time and being brave enough not to have them all processed. And I was an actor, so I kind of know what that means. To see somebody who was living and breathing and entirely in the moment gives you something just golden. And he has that. He's so comfortable, obviously, having made over 150 films. You know, when he sees the camera, sometimes right up there, he's not at all phased. You know, he's, oh, there you are, you know, and he'll carry on. And he's the ease, but also his direct connection with the character. He doesn't like to overanalyze. He likes to be quite spontaneous. He does a lot of work on his own. And we went and rehearsed it a few times before we got into shooting and to get everything kind of in the right place. And so he's... Yeah, it was a dream to have him on set. You know, he really does love the process. And we had quite a young crew on the whole, not being a hugely wealthy or big budgeted film. We brought in quite a few newcomers. And you watch them, some of them a quarter of the age of Michael and Glenda, mesmerized by these people, you know, kind of titans in this tiny little space for the care home. And just it was like they were kind of passing the ball and the back and forth almost, you know, with this kind of ease and richness. It was lovely. You know, a lot of the time for a director is stay out of the way. That they are doing, as long as you're on the right rails to start with, you let them go.
Well, Oliver, thank you so much for joining us on BFBS, The Forces Station, to talk about The Great Escaper. It is brilliant, and we can't wait to see it again in the cinemas. BFBS, The Forces Station.